like, are we taping yet? Don't tape.
And then you poke that in. Where do we want to go? Right there? Okay. We're in.
Okay. Good morning. Good morning. It's so nice to see all of you this morning, and welcome once again to Overeaters Anonymous, Sacramento Intergroup's 27th annual. I think we've got a lot of feedback here. How's that sound? We're going to wait for a little adjustment on the sound. Are we fuzzy? How's that sound?
What I'm trying to do is feed it through that as well to make it louder. This is a quick show of hands. Who can hear?
How does this sound? We're doing, those of you on recording, we apologize for this, but we were having a little sound. Okay, is it fuzzy? Does it sound clear? Okay. It's distorted. Okay. So I'm just going to talk for just a second. So I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to let's just take this in, okay? Let's just have, just take a second and just kind of center in. And even though we're going to, sounds like we're actually doing a sound check, but I think this is always so nice to put to, for everyone to really remember that we're really here to have God come to us and through us. It's for us to dispossess our addiction, our egos, and that fractured part of ourselves. So let's start off with let go and let God. And we'll go ahead and let Rick do his modifications with the audio while we'll do this. So let go and let God. As children bring their broken toys with tears for us to mend, I brought my broken dreams to God because he was my friend. But then instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last I snatched them back and cried, "How can you be so slow?" "My child," he said, "what could I do? You never let them go." So we have to remember that once we make a decision to really ask for God's will, that we really put it into, it's not a God box. Remember, this is from the old days. It was the God can. And the reason it was called the God can is because we put it in a God can. Because God can. God will not do for us what we can do for ourselves, but God will do for us what we can't do for ourselves. All right? And so how are we doing on that, on the audio? Is it better? Is it distorted? Are we ready to go? Should we continue forward? Okay, we're going to keep on going. So good morning and welcome back. Okay, I'm really grateful this is not a AA meeting, because my eyes are so bloodshot, you'd probably wonder what I was doing last night, right? But here we are in beautiful Lake Tahoe. This is an absolutely stunning day. I'm looking at you guys. I hope you're looking at me, but I know they're not. They are looking behind me at this beautiful Lake Tahoe. I have to look at the pine trees. Oh, my gosh, it's beautiful. I saw somebody water skiing today and jet skiing. It was absolutely beautiful. So did we have anybody come in late? Not late, but did we have anybody arrive today that was not able to make it up last night? Yes. And just to welcome you, not to embarrass you, but just to, you know, get you kind of caught up to speed, can you tell us who you are?
I'm Jenny from Sacramento.
Hey, Jenny from Sacramento. Great. Welcome. Welcome. And anybody else?
I'm Jessica from Sacramento as well.
Hey, Jessica from Sacramento. Great. Anybody else? Okay. And one of the most important things that I shared last night is everybody counts or nobody counts. Okay. So it's up to all of us that, you know, to really extend the hand to OA to each other. So remember, before you... You know, there's a lot of people here that really know each other. Before you go say howdy doody to the people you're closest to, go say hi to three or four or five people that you don't know. Let's make OA not as fractured as it has become. Let's make it really inclusive, not exclusive. Let's really welcome the newcomer or the people that are from out of town. There's people here from LA, from Arizona, from just all over the place. So just want to remind you of that. So we're going to go ahead and move quickly. And those of you that did come in late, not late, but that, you know, were not able to arrive, last night and you missed the beginning session. The ABCs of Abstinence has been recorded many, many times. If you want to go ahead and send me an email, I can send you the free audio links. Or you can go to the ABCs of Abstinence website. The contact information is on the bottom of any of these forms I'm handing out. And that's sherry@abcsofabstinence.com. And you can download the ABCs of Abstinence forms there. You can also request that I send you the audio files. And then you can have the whole opening night, you know, Sherry's story and all of that, so you can get caught up to speed. So this morning, from 9 to noon, we're going to be doing what I call the hardest part of the workshop, because we're going to talk about food. And it's like, I'd rather talk about the God stuff or the stories or all of that. But just like in AA, they start the program, what? Sober, right? So we have to start our program abstinent. And so this workshop is the ABCs of abstinence, mapping out your abstinence and your food plan and getting clear on the difference. In the afternoon, the second section of this is disconnecting from your ego and addiction and connecting to your higher power, plus staying safe from relapse with the ABC's recovery quotient. In order for me to gear this workshop to you personally and to accommodate your needs, i.e. one compulsive overeater relating to another, I'd like to see a show of hands. Who's in their first 30 days of abstinence? All right, great. Are there any newcomers? All right. Is there anyone in from 1 to 5 years of abstinence? 5 to 10. 10 to 20. 20 to 25. Ooh, 20 to 30. Yoo-hoo! Okay, check it out. Okay. She came from Arizona. Okay, this is what my sponsor has. My sponsor is 84 years old. She has over 53 years of back-to-back abstinence of obtaining and maintaining a healthy body weight. And she goes, the only thing that all of us who have obtained and maintained a healthy body weight that we have in common is that we have all worked our little tushies off. Can I ask you how old you are?
65.
Okay. 65. How long did it take you to drive from Arizona to here?
Oh, God. 2 days.
2 days. I need a microphone so she can hear, so I can get her on tape. Okay. Okay. Okay, it took her 2 days, okay? And she's had how many years of abstinence?
31
years of abstinence, and what was your top weight? How much weight have you lost? What have you maintained?
50 pounds.
Okay, check that out. I don't like that. She goes like this. About 50 pounds. Shakes her head like it's no big deal. Okay, I want you to stand on that. I don't care if you've obtained and maintained a 10-pound weight loss, a 20-pound weight loss, a 200-pound weight loss. I don't care what it is. Because if you've maintained a healthy body weight at 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 200 pounds, it's a big, big deal. All right? And so that's why she's got 31 years. That's intensive work. She went to any length. So thank you so much. And so remember today that there's people here that want what you have. So if it's applicable to you, please qualify, because it gives hope. Sometimes I think, you know, geez, the best thing I can do is to walk in the room looking like this at a healthy body weight. Because it inspires people to go, wow. Because sometimes you walk in the room and you just don't see any recovery, right? But then if somebody, because not everybody's going to hear everybody's story, because somebody could still look like they've got 50 pounds to lose, but they don't know they've already lost 200. All right? And so it's really important to always qualify. So thank you so much for sharing that. And, So remember, this is a WE program. WE is the first word in the first step. I can't stop eating compulsively, but we can. Please take time today and throughout the weekend to welcome the newcomers and from the people from outside of town. Everyone counts or no one counts. Keep coming back. And don't just keep coming back. Become a sticker and a stayer. So I want to tell you about the history of the ABCs of abstinence. The very first time I presented the ABCs of abstinence was January 18th, 2003, at the OA birthday party. It's grown since this day to become the best-selling CD in all of OA per the San Fernando Valley Intergroup. It has been taped numerous times by many intergroups. The recording has spread to a majority of the United States, including Hawaii, Europe, the Middle East, and parts of Asia. This is, I forgot to fill in my number, I think this is the 43rd or 44th time that I have presented the ABCs of Abstinence workshop. The requests for the ABC forms, outreach calls, and emails were becoming overwhelming. When I celebrated 20 years of abstinence back in 2009, I thought, how can I help OA more? How can I carry a bigger message? How can I ever repay what was so freely given, not to mention what I personally owed Roseanne S. and Bill Wilson and all my sponsors and all the people who walked before me for the life I had been so freely given? I was reflecting on where Bill Wilson and Roseanne were at in their 12-step work when they hit 20 years of sobriety. I thought, how can I improve my 12-step work? I could not keep up with the many requests to make the ABC's recordings, the ABC's accessible to more. So I strengthened my 12-step work by putting up the abcsofabstinence.com website where the forms can be downloaded and receive the free audio links and contact the intergroups who have the recordings available. It is my lifetime gift to Overeaters Anonymous and open to all who share my compulsion. So I'm going to read this disclaimer to you, and this is very, very important to me. So you can go to the ABC's website, and I've just recently redone it, so you have a lot of stuff about that leads you back to World Service, that leads you to the San Fernando Valley Intergroup, to, you know, the different websites, but they're not all up there because I have lost track, like Oregon, you know, recorded it, San Diego, but they're not all there, but hopefully I'll have them there so that it'll lead you back to these different intergroups. Because every ABCs of Abstinence, even though the core is the same, just like the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the core is the same. But every time you go to the meeting, it's entirely different because we're entirely different on our journey. So you can come to the ABCs of Abstinence 10 times and go, I never heard her say that. It could be that you're at a different place and you'd never heard that. Or it could be that I'm in an entirely different new place and I never said that. So it's constantly, constantly morphing. And so I really want you to hear this. This is my disclaimer. There are 100 ways or more at this point to obtain and maintain a healthy body weight and guard yourself from relapse. This is only one way. This is my experience, my strength, and my hope. This is how I got up and walked away from compulsive overeating, found a power greater than myself, got out of God's way, got the big life, and have not needed to return to food, i.e., pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization. If you have obtained and maintained a healthy body weight for 5, 10, 15, whatever years, wonderful. I am not here to tell you anything. I work with a lot of people who have been around a lot longer than me and are committed to OA and possibly their abstinence, but they've not been able to obtain and maintain a healthy body weight. I try to help them to construct a clear path to follow so they too can get up and get out of the food, find God, and join us on the broad highway with the power of the universe. I am only trying to be of maximum service to those about me. I do not attempt to speak for OA. I do not attempt to speak for OA. Please feel free to use what you like and leave the rest. I am just an amalgamation of other people's voices I have heard on the path of recovery. This workshop is not the answer. This workshop is not the answer. It is an additional tool to secure the plug and the jug, so you can continue your path of recovery of the 12 steps to live in abstinence and obtain and maintain a healthy body weight for life, i.e. permanent recovery. It is my heart's desire that all who suffer with my disease of compulsive overeating will one day walk into the rooms of OA and have a clear and immediate knowledge of what it means to put the plug in the jug with compulsive overeating, and in other words, abstinence, to obtain and maintain a healthy body weight. I want to spare you the struggle that I had with the cloudy, unclear, confusing meaning of abstinence and a food plan, and repeated diets and repeated relapses. I don't want you to waste 11 years of your life trying to figure it out like I did. Because remember, in my story last night, I told you I went to my first OA meeting and I only had 20 pounds to lose. I sat in these rooms and I dieted my way to be over 100 pounds overweight. Okay? My goal, my desire, my passion is that people will walk into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous and know exactly the same feeling that when they walk into AA, that this is what it means. You don't drink, you don't gamble, you don't, if you're in GA, NA, A, whatever, in OA, something that will speak to everybody. And the easiest thing for me to say that it speaks to the compulsive overeater, the bulimic, what else are we? The anorexic, okay, and the spinner, the chewer, the whatever, there's so many forms. And you know what, so maybe we started off as Overeaters Anonymous. Maybe we're just the conglomerate for everything. Who knows? We realize we know only a little. We're morphing. We don't know if we're going to be solo like Alcoholics Anonymous and just become Overeaters Anonymous, and then they'll have Bulimics Anonymous and this. Who knows? God will show us, you know, if we rightly relate ourselves to God, he'll show us how it's going to morph, right? But right now, we want to be as inclusive as possible and help as many people as possible. But for me, it should be, our primary purpose is to obtain and maintain a healthy body weight and to carry this message of recovery to those that still suffer. It's so not confusing. It would help the anorexic, the bulimic, the spitter, the chewer, the compulsive overeater. It's really, really simple. Is this distracting for you guys with all these people out here? Okay, great. So I just wanted to say that too. So the ABCs of abstinence, mapping out your abstinence and your food plan. This is your personal recovery roadmap to obtain and maintain a healthy body weight for life. The ABCs is also the acronym for acceptance, belief, and change. A, accepting that we have an addiction. In the old days, I used to say, A was accepting that we have a disease. Until I was like, Sherry, you got it wrong, girl. You should not be saying that. Because it only says that we have a disease in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It only mentions disease one time. And if you say, and so many people in programs say, oh, my disease. And I go, honey, you're not finishing that statement. Because on page, I think, 68, okay, on page 68, let me flip back here, and it says, it's the only time it's mentioned. So if you're going to say the word disease, you have to say what the disease is. So I don't tell you I had a disease, I tell you I had breast cancer, right? I don't tell you that I had a disease. I said that, you know, I was an obese. I was an obesity survivor. Actually, I'm an obesity thriver, right? So this is what it says. It says, I lost my page. I need another cup of coffee. Okay, here it is. It's on page 64. Pardon me. So it says, this is about the fourth step, and we did some work on that last night. And it says, resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From its stem, all forms of spiritual disease, For we have not been only mentally and physically ill, we have been spiritually sick. The spiritual malady is overcome when we straighten out mentally and physically. So if you're going to say disease, you have to say that you have a spiritual disease, because if you have a spiritual disease, then your remedy is a
spiritual.
Okay? So many people say disease, 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 like it's addicted, like it's linked with addiction. It's like, no. Our disease, if you're going to say a disease, we have a spiritual disease because we have disconnected ourselves from all that is powerful. Does that make sense? So we're either going to use the words that we're compulsive overeaters, or we're going to say that we have a spiritual disease. But I think that we do a great disservice to the newcomer and to ourselves by saying that we have a disease. We have a spiritual sickness, okay? So my husband bought this for me last night.
Aww.
Isn't that cute? Because I asked him to. He bought this for you guys, okay? And I always bring a plant, and I talked about this in our talk last night. So I'm gonna do this, okay, and I'm gonna snap this little, those of you that aren't recording, this looks like what, a purple, it's a very pretty, rich purple, chrysanthemum, and I'm snapping off this very pretty little, bloom. Okay? Now this is a potted plant. In the soil is dirt. And at one point, all this was dirt. And your life right now might look like dirt. Okay? And if you're looking over at somebody else's garden and going, man, mine's never gonna look like that. And I go, yeah, it will. Because my garden at one time looked like dirt. And I just kept watering it. Okay? And I kept watering it because I knew that there were seeds in there because I saw it grow in you. Okay? So if it looks like dirt, keep watering it. It's nothing more than a season. Because this is what happens. Okay? But when I take myself from what is all powerful, i.e. God, when I pinch myself off, okay? And I go, forget it, right? And I throw myself over there, and God's here, and I'll leave this right here, all right? And I walk on this, right? And I go like that, and I just step on this, okay? But my best thinking is to be alone and safe over here. This is gonna die, right? But in my best thinking, in that circular thinking of that fractured self, because I've pinched off, I've broken this off, this is not going to survive. But somebody who knows about plants, i.e. one of us, who has walked this path, who knows how to obtain and maintain a healthy body weight, who knows how to do step 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, who knows how to lead and guide you through the program, i.e. a sponsor, can literally take this disconnected part of us, take it very carefully. Do you think they'd stick it right back in the dirt? What would they do? Oh. So think about this when you're doing your abstinence today. Okay? They'd stick it in the water. Then what would they do? Okay. Would they just dunk it in the water? Okay. They wouldn't even, they'd make it balanced so it just wouldn't drown in the water, right? Really lightly. Like here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Remember that? Remember that? Okay, you were paying attention last night. Okay, so remember, it's baby steps. So think about that as we do our abstinence and food plan or dial more fully into our program. So it's in the water. So then what would happen? So if this is gently placed in the water, okay? What's going to happen?
Sunlight.
Oh, okay, and then what's going to happen? Oh, it's going to grow roots. No, it's not. This is going to die, so it's going to grow roots, and then what's going to happen? Oh, and then I'm going to stick it in here, right? And then it's going to grow. And then it's going to become a whole new plant on its own. And this can actually become this. Really? Really? You mean I can really become this? Really? So if I trust and rely first maybe on you guys, and then I can actually trust and rely on the stuff that's in the dirt that makes the plants grow, i.e. the higher power, I can actually become and grow flowers like this. Does that make sense? Okay. So now I'm going to put this little flower, I'm going to leave this one here. Okay, I'm going to put this over by my size 6 dress, okay? Because this is a choice, okay? Because relapse happens to me every day in my mind. I don't wait till it hits on my plate. Okay, so every day I have a choice, okay? And every day I have a choice. So I'm going to put this one here, okay? And I want you to watch what happens through the weekend, what happens to this. I want you to watch what happens to that. Okay? All right? So, for all those 11 years that I thought I was doing OA, do you think that it was OA's fault that it didn't work?
No.
Whose fault was that? Well, God failed me. Well, OA doesn't work. Okay. So, what was the problem? What was the real problem?
Self-will.
Okay, and really under self-will is what? The F word. Fear. Fear of what? No. I got 3 problems. You have three problems, and you have 3 problems. You have 3 problems. What are they? People, places, and things. Okay? I told you last night, the hardest part of this program for me is what? If me is the problem, if I flip that over, what does that become?
Yes.
No. Me. Take the word me, flip it over. What does that say?
We.
Okay, so me is the problem. We is the solution. Okay, the hardest part in this program for me is we. Because when I was growing up, who was the problem?
You.
No, we. Okay, who surrounded me, right? The crazy insane mother. The step grandfather, who was not just, you know, my perpetrator, he was an actual pedophile. It was an insane thing happening in my life. Okay? No one would help me. I was screaming out and telling people. I mean, I was just living in an out of body experience all the time. I needed to get out of right here, right now. Alright? And so, that whole thing that, so I learned that people, places, and things, like it just was not safe. Did I lose my there? Okay. So I had learned a long time ago, we is not safe. I'm much safer with me and my food. Food can get me out of right here, right now. So I want to tell you my first compulsive bite, and then we need to kind of get moving ahead with this. Yes. Okay, thank you. Me is the problem. Me is the problem. Who's got a piece of paper? Yeah, I'm trying to do. Who's got a paper and a pen? Write that down. Write down me really big. Okay, if you go like this. Okay, this says me, right? If I flip that around, does that say we? Yeah, okay, you get the point, right? Okay, me. Me is the problem. We are the solution. That's what I'm saying. By myself, in my own thinking, I'm the problem. I.e., the mind that got me into trouble, can't be the one to get me out. But for 11 years, I could not ask you guys for help. I was terrified because I knew you were going to do to me exactly what they and them had done. Because I was stuck into where I was, you know, what I had talked about last night. T-H-E-M, thoughts having emotional mantras. So they were not still here, but it had now turned into them in my head. Thoughts having emotional mantras. So I couldn't take the risk of we, right? So if you want to feel better, go to meetings. But if you want to recover, get a sponsor. Work the steps. We will not risk what we know we can't recover from. That's what my problem was. I couldn't take the risk. That's why I'm here. That's why I close my business for 2 days before I come here. I lose a lot of money. I close my business 2 days after because I come home exhausted. It costs me a lot of money to come and do this. I only allow, because of the seventh tradition, allow them to pay for my airplane ticket. I cover my own meals. I cover my gratuities. I cover my baggage transfers. I cover my airport transfers. I cover everything. It costs me a lot of money. It's my moral obligation to repay this. Okay? The ABCs of abstinence in a one-day workshop nets that intergroup $1,000 minimum. On a three-day retreat, nets them thousands of dollars. That's very important to me. I've had intergroups give me gift cards. I've had them give me and say, sure, we want to give you some of your expenses. And I said, look, I'm sorry. You're going to have to write me another check to the penny of what my airfare is. You cannot give me one penny over. You've given me an Amazon gift card. I am sorry for the inconvenience. I have to write you a check back for that. I cannot take that. All I want, if you want to give me something, give me a card and say thank you. Give me a little journal and say thank you. But don't give me, because my job, like if OA had become illegal and it was outlawed, and people go, sure, why do you do this? And then I say, well, why do you think I do it? And they go, because to help yourself. And I go, no. The truth is, I've got mine. I'm not doing this to help myself. I'm doing it for one reason. Because I want each one of you to get it. And I want you to turn around and help five others. And I tell each and every one of my sponsees that. And I go, do you know why I'm doing this? And they go, yeah, to help yourself. I go, no, I got mine. I'm really clear. I got mine. Because mine is God, right? Page 54 in the big book, or 56, it says, we had to step from bridge to shore and walk in constant companionship with the creator of the universe. All right? I've stepped from bridge to shore. Okay? But so each of my sponsees, right, they've lost their weight. They've obtained, they have maintained a healthy body weight. But their commitment, they owe me, right? They've turned around and they're helping not five, hundreds. And you know what? If they've helped hundreds, they've helped thousands. Okay, so that's why I'm doing it. And then I want you all to turn around and help somebody else. Because service is 50% of this program. I am way off track because I am really passionate that we help each other. So let's talk about the ABCs. So back to, let's get on track because we're going to lose time. So we were starting off with A is accepting that we have an addiction. B, believing that we have a solution. C, change. We stop trying to change ourselves but become willing to take action by allowing ourselves to be changed by the 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 9 tools. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas and the result was nil until we let go. Watch out for what you're not willing to let go of today. Because remember, like it says in the big book, men's minds have fixed and fettered ideas. Watch out for your judgments, Practice non-judgment. When we get into judgment, that sets off the eater in us. It sets off the disconnect. It's like the most dangerous thing. Practice non-judgment so you can stay rooted in the soil so that your roots can grow deep and you can grow into that seed of power. Another part for the ABCs. Act confident. B, believe in your true self and your higher power. C, care about others. The ABCs of abstinence is unity and dignity through diversity. This is not cookie cutter. We are not AA. We're not, the intention was for AA. We are an adaptation. We must grow more fully into ourselves as Overeaters Anonymous. We can't be cookie cutters. A lot of parts of OA, it's like, if you don't eat like me, you're doing it wrong. If you don't do just like me, you're doing it wrong. It's like, that's not the way it's supposed to be. We are not here to exchange one prison for another or govern one another. We are trusted servants of this miraculous program. So no one is supposed to say, your abstinence is supposed to look just like mine. You have to do it just like me. Where's the trusted servant in that? Okay? A girl went to I did the ABCs of Abstinence in Seattle last month. Brand new newcomer had 1 week of abstinence, right? She hooks up. She's brave. She gets a sponsor. She does, you know, everything. But while she's in this, we're out in the middle of nowhere, right? Not like here. We're in the middle of Washington State. She's supposed to call or do the whatever, right? There's no cell tower or whatever. She can't call her on the exact time. Guess what the sponsor does? Done. Out of here. I'm like, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. You did that to a compulsive overeater? Okay, so my feeling is, like it says in the big book, it says don't waste too much time on any one alcoholic because you'll be taking it away from somebody else. My feeling is I never throw any compulsive overeater away. Okay, but the thing of it is, if you're not working the steps, if you're not calling me on time, if you're not losing weight, I don't need to kick you out. All I do is raise the bar. You're either going to step it up or you're going to go, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. You're going to do what I did, right? But if you want it, and I turn up the volume a little bit, you go, man, I want that. Because I am intense. And I will tell you the truth. But you know what? I tell you the truth with the how do you say that word?
Anesthesia.
The anesthesia of love. Okay? And it sets people free because we all want to know the truth. And I need a, let's see. I'm going to run out of time here, so I'm just going to go very quickly. Let's do this real quick. I want to talk to you a little bit about... I need a reader. I do want to do this. Who wants to be a reader? I need a reader. Come on up. Read everything in the purple.
Okay. Memo from God to you.
We're coming up with a mic.
All right. Memo from God to you from the boss. Subject, your life, date today. I am God. Today I'll be handling all of your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If life happens to deliver a situation to you that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it. Kindly put it in the SFGTD, something for God to do, box. Once the matter is placed in the box, do not hold on to it. If you find yourself stuck in traffic, do not despair. There are people in this world for whom driving is an unheard of privilege. Should you have a bad day at work, think of the man who has been out of work for years. Should you despair over a relationship gone bad, think of the person who has never known what it's like to love and be loved in return.
Should you grieve the passing of another weekend? Think of the woman in dire straits working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week to feed her children. Should your car break down, leaving you miles away from assistance, think of the paraplegic who would love the opportunity to take that walk. Should you notice a new gray hair in the mirror? Think of the cancer patient in chemotherapy who wishes she had hair. Should you find yourself at a loss and pondering what is life all about, asking what is my purpose? Be thankful. There are those who didn't live long enough to get the opportunity. Should you find yourself the victim of other people's bitterness, ignorance, smallness, or insecurities, remember things could be worse. You could be them.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I want to talk to you about the zero step, the first step in recovery, and the official first step. Your whole life was meant to walk together and discover what awaits you. I need that mic. This most wonderful journey begins with I do and follows you every step of the way. The zero step is in the Big Book, Chapter 5, How It Works, on page 58. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. If you are ready, raise your hand. The first step in recovery, Big Book, Chapter 3, More About Alcoholism, page 30, we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics, compulsive overeaters. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people, or presently, maybe, has to be smashed. If you can have conceded to your innermost self that you really do have a problem with food, i.e. compulsive overeater, bulimic, anorexic, and all the other subheadings, please stand up if this applies to you. This is the official first step. Big Book, Chapter 5, How It Works, page 59. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. If this applies to you, I will read the official first step and reply with I do, then sit down. And we're going to start at this end. We admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable.
I do. Is that what I'm going to say? Okay.
I do.
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 I'm only in the process of doing so.
And this is very, very brave. This is very, very brave to say that because it's very important to know your truth. To know your truth. Because it says in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, only an alcoholic can diagnose himself. So it's very, very important because remember, we are inclusive, not exclusive. So thank you very, very much. It's very, very important. And we just invite you're right where you need to be. Just honor that. God will, you know, your higher power. You just feel the feelings.
I do.
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 I do for today.
I do.
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 After 34 years, I too am in the process. I do.
I do.
I do today.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I absolutely do.
I 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 do one day at a time.
I do.
I do.
I do.
For today, I do.
I do one day at a time.
Most definitely.
I do.
I definitely do.
Most of the time, I do. I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I absolutely do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
Great. So see how important that is? That's I love the way that that is written, that we actually have a zero step, we have a first step, and then we have the actual official first step. Because in getting there, it says, because we're all by ourselves, it says if you, it's not we're not at the we part, right? It says if you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. Like if you're not there, it's like you see so many people work the steps, but they're really not there. And then it says you're ready to take certain steps if you really realize this is in you. Okay? Because you've diagnosed yourself. And then it says, we learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were compulsive overeaters. This is the first step in recovery. Isn't that beautiful? The delusion that we are like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed. Remember I told you last night that I just thought like there's something like what's wrong? She's eating like that. She gets to do it. Like what's wrong? Like what's wrong? You know, and then I realized that I had to do this. We learned that we'd fully concede to our innermost selves that we were compulsive overeaters. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we were like other people or presently maybe has to be smashed. It was like, wow, I'm not like other people. I'm really, really not. And then, and it says, if you, right, I'm still by myself, I'm not in the we part of the program, it says, if you've conceded to your innermost self that you really do have a problem with food, i.e. compulsive overeater, bulimic, anorexic, and all the other subheadings, you know, that applies to me. And then I'm like, wow, I'm at the first step. Half measures availed this nothing. It's like, well, duh, because I dieted my way to be 100 pounds overweight. And it says, we stood at the turning point. Now we're at the we part, right? We're at the we part. And it says, if this applies to you, you know, this is my thing, you know, and then it says, we, right, we stand together. It says, we admitted. We admitted. That's past tense. We admitted that we were, boom, powerless. That's past tense. That we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. I love that. That's all past tense. So we're no longer powerless. Isn't that crazily wonderful? And like I said in last night, that the last line in the AA 12 and 12, it says, we stand ready to do anything. That's we. That's she and I standing hand in hand. It says, we stand ready to do anything to have this merciless obsession relief. Because I'm not alone anymore. Because me was the problem. We are the solution. I'm no longer alone. I have my own little holy trinity. I got me. I got my sponsor. I got a higher power. Whether I have a higher power or not, I at least have you guys to rely on. Right? So it's all past tense. We admitted that we were powerless. I'm not powerless anymore. As long as I'm here, I got a way to step up and step out. Because you guys are here. You guys are like AAA. I get to call a tow truck. I'm no longer stuck on the side of the road. Help's on the way. Help's here. But man, I'm the one who had to pick up the phone and go, hey, I need help. But that's the hardest part to do, right? I need help. That takes courage. So if you're listening to this on recording, please, if you can't get help, if you don't know how to get a sponsor, please call me. Please call me. I will walk you through a 5-step process on how to get a sponsor. I will bookend it with you. I'm not available to sponsor, but I will help you set your abstinence. I will help you get a sponsor. I will do anything to break down that preconceived thing that they're the problem. We're the problem. It's like, no, we are the solution. So I want to say that to the people that are going to hear this on the recording. So, I want to talk about the explanation of abstinence. Abstinence is how we eat. Abstinence is our primary purpose, along with carrying the message of recovery to those who still suffer. B, explanation of bags, bowls, baskets, bars, and boxes, compulsive foods and behaviors. C, explanation, create a plan of eating. Food plan is what we eat. And this is all going to be on a handout to you. Okay? Talking about where the word abstinence came from. Everything I am about to read to you is OA and AA conference-approved literature. None of this is my experience. None of this is my opinion. But it is my hope to bring clarity to you surrounding abstinence. In the doctor's opinion on page 28, XXVII, the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. Back in the old days, we didn't have any OA literature, and one of our first books was what we affectionately call the chocolate book. Like only in OA, right? Would we come up with the Hershey book? Okay, this is the chocolate book. On the bottom of page 2 and 3, it says, we are not a diet and calories club. We do not endorse any particular plan of eating. This still stands true today. We practice abstinence by staying away from all eating between planned meals and from all individual binge foods. Once we become abstinent, the preoccupation with food diminishes and in many cases leaves us entirely. Woohoo! It's true. Okay, in the book, Beyond Our Wildest Dreams, the word abstinence had yet to enter the OA vocabulary. This is very important. But we had given much thought to this. It is a slower process, I answered, I've got to get the quoted name here. I feel that each compulsive overeater knows where his or her own line of black and white is. The things that he or she can eat that will set off a binge, and the things he can eat that won't set off him off on a binge. I think in this manner it can be compared with alcoholism and gambling. A compulsive overeater knows how far he or she can go. This was the beginning of dignity and of choice and black and white abstinence. Again, from Beyond Our Wildest Dreams, page 135, 136. We had begun to see that all this non-stop nibbling, even on carrots and celery, only increased our compulsion. It was keeping us focused on food and standing in the way of our recovery. Abstinence was the missing key to our physical recovery. That's what's wrong with all of us in OA. We're not abstaining from food at any time during the day. We have to close our mouths from the end of one meal to the beginning of the next. Otherwise, we're feeding our obsession. Makes sense, right? Again, from Beyond Our Wildest Dreams, page 182. In OA, recovery program is identical with that of Alcoholics Anonymous. We use the same 12 steps and the 12 traditions, changing only the words alcohol and alcoholic to food and compulsive overeater. That's what it says. We are identical. A member's eye view of Alcoholics Anonymous pamphlet, AA General Service Conference Approved Literature, page 12. AA treats the symptom first. Pay attention to that, right? You go to the emergency room, what do? Treat the cause or the symptom? Okay, think about that. In AA, treats the symptom first. Alcoholics Anonymous has consistently emphasized its conviction that alcoholism is, to use its own phrase, the symptom of deeper troubles. However, AA also believes that the cleverest diagnosis of these troubles is of little benefit if the patient dies. Autopsies do not benefit the person upon whom they are performed. Sometimes sooner, sometimes later, AA seems to be able to get over to its neophytes that total abstinence is the name of the game. In AA, the cart does come before the horse. In AA, they put the plug in the jug. They start the 12 steps sober. In AA, we put the fork down. We start the 12 steps abstinence. I'm a real big believer in following this program the way it was designed. We have to set our abstinence first with our sponsors and our sponsees. Otherwise, you're taking a drunk through the steps. The mind that got you into trouble can't be the one to get you out. That was a song from heaven. Okay, the mind that got you into trouble can't be the one to get you out. So, just, it's important. Yes?
Will you not work with a sponsee who is still using food as far as doing the steps then? Can you not venture into the steps?
Who wants to be a mic runner? Run that back to her, somebody. No, I would never, that would be such a disservice to them, because I remember that I would binge before meetings, and I would binge after meetings, and I would binge before therapy, and I would binge after therapy, and it would be like, what's the point, right? So I think that would be a terrible disservice, no more than I would take an alcoholic, and I'm not an alcoholic, but I don't think an alcoholic would work the steps on somebody who's drunk. How could you get through? How could you get through? That would be wrong. So I would do, who are the two people that came in this morning? Okay, so to me it's really, really important to get an abstinence that is obtainable, sustainable, and doable for the rest of their life so that they get the feeling that they can do it. To take somebody through it, eating two pizzas, 68 candy bars, they're not going to hear the message clean. They're going to be in that cloudy head. They're not really going to believe that they can live without the food because they're not going to have any point where they're not sticking a needle in their arm. I would never do that to a sponsor. That's not what this program is about. For me, I would never do that. I would think that would be wrong. Yes?
So
wait. Mic runner. Who's your mic?
I'll hold on.
Thank you.
So if you're So if you're working with someone that has been in the program and has struggled and is really struggling to get the abstinence, and in order to think right, needs to also come to terms with the fact that she is the compulsive overeater, and to an extent really knows it, but struggles to get that abstinence, how would you help someone?
So, say it again.
Bottom line is, how do you help someone get the abstinence when their lives is so chaotic that to find that stability you have days on and off, on and off?
So give me an actual true scenario.
Okay, so the particular person can have abstinence.
No, give me, he said, she said, give me the scenario you're talking. Give me a real life, let's work it out.
Okay, so
Lulu Bell came to you and said.
Yes, and she knows that she has an eating disorder.
Yes.
She wants to have abstinence and has worked it out to where she can be abstinent for, let's say, a week.
Mm-hmm.
Then the weekend hits, routine is different, struggles with the home life and going places and so on, and then the stress of it all sets her off into sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And now coming off the sugar.
Okay, and so what's her abstinence?
She's not able to stay off of sugar consistently.
Okay, so you're saying that Lulu Bell's abstinence is what? What is Lulu Bell's abstinence?
Well, it should be staying off of sugar.
Wait.
Okay.
Just so I'm working with Lulu Bell. Lulu Bell comes to me, and Lulu Bell says, my abstinence is what? Tell me.
No sugar.
Okay.
Yeah.
You be Lulu Bell, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, Lulu Bell, you've not been able to stay abstinent for how long?
3 days.
Okay. And so, how long have you been trying to do this?
Off and on for a couple of months.
Okay. So, Lulu Bell, what is your abstinence?
No sugar.
And so you've been trying this for a couple of months, and you get 3 days and you fall off of it, right? So, Lulu Bell, I really want to help you get the win. And I think what you're trying to do, Lulu Bell, is that you're trying to literally ride a bike, but you're really trying to get on a 10 speed. And I think that that's a real disservice. And I really admire that you really want to ride a 10 speed or a mountain bike. But I think that that's not right for you. And I would rather see you get the win. And so when you had a little kid, Lulu Bell, and you wanted him to enjoy the win of riding a bike, would you get him a 10 speed or would you put him on a big wheel?
Well, obviously, on
a three-wheeler. Okay, and would they build confidence on a three-wheeler?
Yes.
And then from a three-wheeler, would they feel so good? Then what would they want to do?
Well, try without the three wheels.
A two-wheeler, and then I'd say, okay, great. Let's put training wheels on it, right? And then after they get the confidence with the training wheels, then, because the training wheels are not really four wheels, the training wheels are just, they're not even equal, right? So they have to learn the balance, right? And then they get their confidence up, right?
Right.
Okay, and then once they're confident, then we both agree, do you think it's time to take the training wheels off? And then Lulu Bell would say, yeah, let's take them off. Are you ready?
Right.
You think you're ready to do it, Lulu Bell?
Yes, and
okay.
I understand what you're saying,
okay.
But to help someone to get the strength to stay away from the sugar for a period of time, that's that connection there that is a challenge. And
okay, but yes. Do you see how I break that down? So for me, Lulu Bell has not been able to get the win. She's not been able to get that win. So I need to break it down for her and to let her doing self-will run riot. She needs to stop it and go, look, I know how to get from there to there. If you want what I have and are you willing to go to any lengths to get it, then let's get to work. And I promise you, you will get abstinent. Because abstinence is not the answer. What's the answer? Who said God? Okay? Those of you that said God are going to be lined up for long-term abstinence.
Okay.
Okay? Because I'm going to go through this before I take more questions, because abstinence used to be a tool. Okay? And so people that start this high, that's what happens to the Lulubells. They can't do it. They feel bad about themselves. They feel bad. They feel bad. They feel bad. And then eventually, what do? They do what I did. See ya? Wouldn't want to be ya. So it's not right. You would never take a little kid, stick him on a 10-speed bike and go, do it. You'd never take a kid and throw him on the deep end of a pool. You'd never do that. You would never allow a neophyte to do that. That's not right. Okay? So I believe in building confidence. Okay? So if they want to play with sugar, I'll tell you how I step down from a lot of that. But let me finish this and let me take questions, because these are important things, because it's important that you win. And that's why I believe in a step down method and a here kitty kitty, because I believe in through here kitty kitty that as you're doing that, you build confidence, and then you believe, then you start building a reliance in God. But if you start here, okay, if you can't do 2 plus 2 is 4, how do you think you're going to do in algebra? Are you going to think you're stupid? Are you going to think everybody else is smart? What do you think you're going to do? Become a dropout? I'd quit. Because you have no foundation to be able to work at that level. Okay? So if you're looking at the big kids and you're trying to start there, tell me why, if we're doing that to people and we're continuing to do that, then where's the 90% of recovery that should be in the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous?
Amen.
Okay? We are like AA. It says we're identical, but remember, we are not the intention. We are an adaptation. We realize we know only a little. We have got to figure out a way that really embraces and is inclusive, not exclusive. And we cannot allow somebody to do some big kid thing when they're this little. We have to take care of them, because any kid will if there's a 2-year-old in the room, right, and they see her cutting a craft she's got big scissors and she's a good artist and she's cutting with scissors, right? The 2-year-old will take this, right? Take the scissors and the 2-year-old is going to run with the scissors and going to want to cut. Are you going to let a 2-year-old with scissors run and start cutting?
No.
Why?
They're going to hurt themselves.
They're going to hurt themselves. Then why would you let a compulsive overeater start with no sugar? If you have somebody on life support, on oxygen, like, what's that called? Ventilator? What's that breathing? Ventilator? Okay. If you're on a ventilator, do they just shut it off? Okay? They don't do that. That would be wrong, because your lungs can't kick in. They dial it down and you get used to it. It's hard, okay? I lost my weight in 20-pound increments and then I'd flatline, because my mind had to catch up. My body had to catch up. My spirit had to catch up. I had to reacclimate, because I didn't want to return. I was not ready for a big pair of scissors. I believe in dialing it down. So I have a lot to say about that, and I'm glad you asked that question. But I'm going to get through this, because otherwise we are so going to run out of time. But I'm, because my thing is, I really want to take care of the newcomer. I don't want anybody gaining weight in this program. I don't want anybody leaving in this program. And I certainly don't want anybody in this program ever to say, OA, no way. It breaks my heart. I have so many people that come to me, that work with me, and go, I can't do OA. Can't do OA. So they work with me, and I finally am able to get them to come back to OA. And I go, thank you, God, so help me, God, thank you. I am so grateful. Or you get people to go so far in OA, they can't go any farther. Okay? Because we've been taught, like, don't do that. Don't do that to a newcomer. Take the power, take the scissors from him and go stop it. You're not ready. Let him play it out on a food plan. Let him play. The food plan can be imperfect. That's where your food plan is weight gaining. It is weight maintaining. It is weight losing. It can be all kinds of things. But her abstinence is supposed to be perfect. Just like sobriety. Can somebody get me a soapbox or what? Okay. All right, let me finish this. Okay, so let me get through this. Okay, we did that. Okay. Okay, abstinence is how we eat. Real simple. Food plan is what we eat. My personal example of abstinence, I'm going to go through this really fast so we can get kind of into the meat of this. I told you last night, you know, my abstinence was real simple. 3 meals a day, nothing in between, a floating fruit. I told you about the, you know what, if you don't remember it, email me, I'll send you the free audio tapes. Or go to the website, download the, blah, blah, blah. I'll send you the audio tapes. Okay. So I had 3 gigantic meals a day with life in between. I cried the first 30 days. I cried every single day. I had a can of nuts for breakfast. I had a pizza for lunch. I had spaghetti for dinner. My sponsor had faith in the 12 steps, and I had faith in her. Belief in the power of the program. I'm just still wanting to talk with all of that. So, just like taking the scissors away from a 2-year-old, you have enough faith that if you give them the little baby scissors when it's appropriate, those real dull things, if they learn how to do that, they can eventually use all kinds of knives and tools and stuff like that. But they have to learn, otherwise it cut the finger off. And that's what we're letting people do when you start them at such a high level. I mean, that's just wrong. Just wrong. Okay. I believe in a perfect abstinence with an imperfect food plan. So, when I do this locally, the next ABCs of Abstinence will be down in Long Beach on September 12th. Hope to see some of you there. Can I see somebody who has a size 10 shoe? Can you come up here? Okay, can I see somebody who thinks they have the smallest shoe size in the room? Come up here. Can I see somebody that has some shoe size in the middle of the... in the middle of that. Okay, great. Does somebody have like a wide or an awkward shoe or a one shoe higher than the other or an orthotic? Does anybody have any of that? A what?
Orthotic.
Come on up. Okay. Okay. You guys all kind of have the same shoes on. Usually what I do, this is probably not going to work. Those of you that are on recording, what I usually have is that I get some poor little willing volunteer, and she comes up here, and I hand her a man's size 13 hiking boot. And I go, this is your abstinence. And you must walk around this for the rest of your life. And she willingly puts the size 13 man's shoe on. And she can clump around because she really wants to be abstinent. But she really can't do it more than maybe an hour, right? Okay? And so then I take out a lady's size 5 slide. It's like a 2-inch heel. And the woman's like probably a size 6. And I go, okay, this is your abstinence. You have to wear this. And she can't even make it around the room. I go, that's your abstinence. If you can't do that, you're out. You're not abstinent. She goes, I can't do it. I go, I'm sorry, you're not abstinent then. Bummer. Okay? And then I take, like there's I have big hoofs, right? My size 10. And last night I had 4-inch heels on. Those are what, probably 2.5-3-inch heels. So, and then I have somebody put those on, a size 6. Those are going to flop all around her feet. And I go walk around in those. And so I'm trying to drive home the point that if you don't do your abstinence, if you don't do dignity of choice and honor that inside of you, probably not going to work. So thank you for coming up here, but that visual didn't work today, but that's just as well. But thank you so much for that. But do you understand how important it is that you set an abstinence for yourself, with your sponsee, with your sponsor, when you work with somebody? So I have this, I do on Monday nights at 5:00, I have a thing called Team 12 Step Outreach Calls with Sherry, and you're welcome to call in on Monday nights. And I take whatever guys you want to talk about, whatever questions we didn't get to, whatever you just want to talk about, whatever. So so this one girl, she says, you know, I was doing really good. I had a couple of years of abstinence, and I lost, you know, I lost 75 pounds, and then I put it all back on, plus more. I'm really having a hard time. Glad you're having this call, because I can't even walk back in the rooms of OA. I feel really bad. I'm so ashamed. Can relate, right? So hard to walk back in the rooms. And so, and I said, well, what was your abstinence? And she said, blah, 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 blah. And so I said, well, and I say to people, your feelings are your greatest guide back to your seat of power. I said, did you know at the point when your sponsor told you what your abstinence was going to be, did you know, did you have a feeling somewhere inside of you that you couldn't do it? She goes, I knew on the spot I couldn't do it. Okay, and I said, and you canceled yourself out once again. Okay, and so it doesn't matter that you did that. It only matters that you're here today and that we're talking about it, and so that you can really learn not to cancel yourself out. So it's really important that you honor your truth, because I can do my abstinence, but I can't do hers or hers or hers. And remember last night we talked about the girl with the broccoli? Wasn't that cute? Okay, we talked about me, broccoli and chicken, like, yuck, I lost 100 pounds on broccoli and chicken. I didn't know how to do it any other way. So, where's my broccoli girl? Where are you? Oh, you moved chairs, okay. All right, so it's like, that's so beautiful. And so I said, is she doing it right and I'm doing it wrong? Am I doing it right and she's doing it wrong, or however I said that? And it's like, no, she's doing it in the way that's dignity of choice. That's Overeaters Anonymous. We're trusted servants. We do not govern. This is dignity of choice. We do not endorse any plan of eating. God, you, with the help and guidance of your sponsor, you can't dictate. Yes?
In the dignity of choice, it states
Oh, and turn it on. Flip, switch on.
In the dignity of choice, it says that abstinence is a state of mind, stopping your compulsions. How is the food plan that?
Let me get all through this and we'll break that down and take questions later. I'm not going to take any more questions so we get all the way through this. So... okay, so let me just say this to you. So I believe in a step-down method. If you can't imagine life without pizza, don't put pizza in your abstinence to start with. Just start somewhere. More will be revealed. Make your abstinence simple and easy. Remember, my abstinence was 3 meals a day with nothing in between and a floating fruit. So here's an example of my step-down method. So when I had stopped losing weight after I had just done my basic little three meals a day and nothing in between. I had said to my sponsor, I said, I'm not losing any weight. And she goes, well, let's talk about your food. And I said, shh. Let's not. I mean, seriously, I would rather take you guys to the gynecologist than ever talk about my food. I do not like talking about my food. And so she says to me, she goes, well, Sherry, what do you have for lunch? I go, a tostada. You know, the next question was what?
What else?
I go, chips. Next question was what? No. Question was what?
How many?
I said, busted, right? How many baskets? I said, a few. She goes, how many? I said, maybe three or four. I said three or four. And she said, and then I don't think she said anything. And I cried. Because I thought in admitting that, she was going to what?
Fire you.
No, take it away. Take it away. If I told her, she was going to take it away. Because remember, T-H-E-M, as a little kid, right? Right? Thoughts having emotional mantra. If you told... In my family just raised three addicts. My sister was a heroin addict, my brother an alcoholic, me the full-blown compulsive overeater. That's what our family raises, right? So if you told anybody in your family that you had a feeling, you were minimized, demoralized, outcast, okay? So it's like, so here I am telling her a feeling, I'm being honest with her, so I'm ready for the Yeah, I'm ready to just get in the wooden clothes hanger, just beaten. I'm ready to get slapped down. So she says, how many? And so I take the risk and I say, a few, three or four. And so I'm ready. And so I just start crying. And I don't cry dainty, right? I thought she was going to cut my arm off. And so she said, well, what do you want to do about that? You mean you're not going to punish me? You're not going to take it away? You mean you're going to give me the dignity of choice, the dignity of giving my power back to me, that I'm in control of my life, that you're not going to dictate to me? And I said, I don't know, eat none? And she goes, nah. I go, really? And she goes, well, what do you want to do? And I go, I don't know, one basket? And... yeah, why not? I go, well, no, I don't think I should eat pudding. I'll put it on my absence. She goes, no. She goes, why don't you try one basket? We'll put it on your food plan. Hence, I started using the tool of food plan. Okay? So I put it on my food plan. She goes, we'll do that for 30 days and see how you feel. So I put that on my food plan. And at the end of 30 days, she goes, how do you feel? I go, man, my life is rocking. I have the confidence, right? So now I'm on the two-wheeler, right? Okay, I'm not on a 10-speed. I'm not ready. Okay, so I put that on my absence. So when I take my candle for 26 years, right, that means from whenever I gave up those chips in the basket, I've never had it. Okay? When I added pizza to my abstinence, when I take my candle in September 12th, that means perfect abstinence. I've never had a pizza since then. That's perfect abstinence. But I had to grow into it. All right? So I believe in perfect abstinence. But I believe in first you put it on your food plan for a while, see how well you do, training wheels, and then take the wheels off and drive, right? Okay, so that just wanted to say that to you. So let's go ahead and pass these forms out. These are, let's have help pass these out. Let's go ahead and get this passed out. Great, great, great. And thank you. Take one of those. And who would like to read? Who's a good, easy, calm reader? Okay.
I don't know about calm, but I can read calmly.
This one looks upside down. Okay, you got one? Okay. Get that microphone from her. Just stand right there.
Is she already up there reading?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Extras?
Some.
Are there any extras? Yeah, we have school.
Can I?
Oh, great.
Okay, does everyone have one of those? Just breathe slow, calm,
sure.
And then just stay over there so I can.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
you saw me when to read.
Okay,
stand. I'll just sit back here.
No.
You want me out here?
Right. Okay. Okay. Does everybody have a form? Okay. Go ahead. Introduce yourself.
Just read right here
from the very start.
Good morning. I'm Camille, recovering compulsive. Good morning. I'm Camille, still recovering compulsive overeater. Okay, so I'm just reading the form. ABCs of abstinence. Mapping out your abstinence and your food plan and getting clear on the difference. So A is for abstinence. Abstinence is our primary purpose. Abstinence is the compulsive overeat to the compulsive overeater when sobriety is due to the alcoholic. Unity through diversity. Overeaters Anonymous, amended definition of abstinence and recovery. Abstinence and Overeaters Anonymous is the action of refraining from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors while working toward or maintaining a healthy body weight. Spiritual, emotional, and physical recovery is the result of living the Overeaters Anonymous 12-step program. And then prior to this amendment, abstinence was a tool and then amended to the primary purpose. This is from a June 9, 1995 letter addressed to meeting secretaries from a delegate from the San Fernando Valley Intergroup. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and to carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Abstinence is to the compulsive overeater what sobriety is to the alcoholic. Abstinence is the goal of the program, not a tool. Okay, this is from the big book, page 28, fifth paragraph.
And let's read it as written.
The doctor's opinion?
Yeah. So it says from the big book, page XXVIII, which is page 28. Fifth paragraph, the doctor's opinion.
Dr. Silkworth, in quotes, the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. Then the very next paragraph sentence states, this immediately precipitates us into a seething cauldron of debate. Jeez, we were warned.
I mean, really? Like, we were warned. What were we thinking? Okay? So, it's important that you know why there's been so many problems with abstinence. It says, this immediately precipitates us into the seething cauldron of debate. So there is a problem. We haven't figured this out yet. It's a little messy. We realize we know only a little. We're a work in progress, but we're trying to work it out. So go ahead.
So Bill Wilson stated, we must be ever vigilant to maintain the purity of our message. In quotes, if AA is ever destroyed, it will be from within. End quotes. From the big book, pages 39 and 43, if you want relief from cravings, you must abstain. If you want to remove the obsession, you must surrender to a higher power. In quotes, the overeater will be absolutely unable to stop compulsive overeating on the basis of self-knowledge. His defense must come from a higher power, end quote.
And so when someone had asked me, would you take somebody through the steps drunk while they're still eating? This is the reason. The overeater will be absolutely unable to stop compulsive overeating on the basis of self-knowledge. So if their best thinking says, I have to eat, I have to eat, there's no room for them to get a new message in because they're still drunk. They're not in their right mind. Okay, so when I was doing three meals a day with life in between, and I was having three big meals a day, I was losing weight because between breakfast and lunch and dinner, I couldn't eat. So guess who I had to cry out to? God. And if I couldn't cry out to God, who else did I have to cry out to? And if I didn't get a hold of her, then who did I cry out to? Fellowship, right? And if I couldn't get a hold of you, then who'd I have to cry out to?
Read.
I had literature, right? Okay, what's another tool?
Writing.
What's another one? Meetings. I went to 7 to 10 meetings a week. Okay, because I was going to die between breakfast and lunch and dinner. But I was committed to that absence because it was so easy. But I had to white knuckle it even during those days. Okay? That was hard enough for this chick. So if you had told me no sugar, no white flour, do you think I'd really be here looking like this for 25 years? Really? Really? Thank God nobody did that to me. Thank you, God. Thank you. Please read. I just have to interject because these are so important to me.
Okay, so therefore it's food out, God in. Otherwise it's a diet. This is my definition of a diet from the Big Book, page 31, chapter 3, more about alcoholism. In quotes, brief recovery followed always by a still worse relapse, end quotes. There is a bottom below the bottom, you know. And these are bulleted points. The disease centers in our minds, not our bodies. Alcoholics Anonymous celebrates 365 days of continuous, perfect sobriety. Overeaters Anonymous presents candles for 365 days of continuous, perfect abstinence, in quote, in parens, with an imperfect plan of eating, close parens. Abstinence is to be maintained perfectly like sobriety. Bullet, it is life and death, black and white. It should only be changed after serious and lengthy discussion with your sponsor. Abstinence is how we eat. A food plan is what we eat. And then,
want me to keep reading?
Excerpt from our invitation to you. We are not a diet and calories club. We do not endorse any particular plan of eating. We practice abstinence by staying away from eating between planned meals and from all individual binge foods. Once we become abstinent, the preoccupation with food diminishes and in many cases leaves us entirely. We then find that to deal with our inner turmoil, we have to have a new way of thinking, of acting on life rather than reacting to it, in essence, a new way of living. From this vantage point, we begin the 12-step program of recovery, moving beyond the food and the emotional habit to a fuller living experience. Examples of successful abstinence for compulsive overeaters are 3 meals a day with life in between, 3 meals a day and a floating fruit with life in between, 3 meals a day and up to 2 snacks with life in between, no eating after dinner. An example of abstinence for bulimic may include no purging or binging. An example of abstinence for an anorexic may include no skipping meals. Note, as some members evolve in their recovery, they may choose to add some of their alcoholic foods to their abstinence. And so a big block, create an abstinence. You can live with, under any circumstance, life will present to you. Be painfully realistic with your abstinence, that it is attainable, sustainable, and maintainable through the roller coaster of life. Remember, we live life on life's terms. Make it easy. Your abstinence must be something you can do any place in the entire world, at any time, under any circumstance. We can't put the plug in the jug, but we can slow down the flow through abstinence. Abstinence is our primary purpose. It is not a tool. When you are ready to apply a plan of eating, this powerful tool is where you create your weight gaining, weight maintaining, weight losing meals. Please do not exchange one prison for another. After the ABC forms have reviewed, the Q&A segment will follow. We will then fill out in the ABCs of abstinence forms, followed by the acid test. It is strongly suggested that you discuss your choices with your sponsor. Please date and write your abstinence inside the back cover of your big book.
Okay, so now, selecting an abstinence feels so big, so very daunting, so very overwhelming, because we're using the mind that got us into trouble. The mind that got you into trouble cannot be the one to get you out. Just hold on just a second here. We cannot connect to the mind that you will get you out as long as we keep feeding and fueling the disconnect. Abstinence has to be simple, easy, obtainable, and sustainable. Abstinence is not the solution. The 12 steps that lead you to your seat of power and higher power. As long as we are seeking power in the powerless, we will never find our way home. That's why we have to start our program, our steps, sober. It is like this. If I make a decision to go to Costa Mesa on Saturday from Studio City, I get on the 405 North, heading south towards San Francisco, and I keep driving, feeling frustrated that I am not getting what I came for. I have to stop, look at what is working and what is not. I realize I should be on the 405 South to get to Costa Mesa. What a hassle to stop, figure it out, get off the freeway, exit the off-ramp, find the 405 South, and continue on my journey. If I keep going on the 405 North because I see so many people do that, but it is not going to take me where I want to go. I mean, that's like somebody doing an abstinence that's not working and keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it. It's like you're trying to go to San Diego, not San Francisco. Like, stop. Stop it. Let's turn around. Let's take the time and honor and go through the hassle of turning it around and go, you know what? They're going that way. I don't want to go that way. I need to go this way. I look at abstinence like that. It keeps me awake and alert. That is all it can do because it is a very loose, flimsy cork. It won't stop all the food getting in or out, but it will stop a lot of gunk getting in. It is a filter that has kept me awake and alert so I could hear God's voice. Because when life gets so loud and messy and confusing, I have to clear this clanking, irritating, I have to hear this clanking, irritating noise that I have to pay attention to because I will have to make a decision to take the plug out so I can get more of the stuff to destroy myself or to stop in time before I choose to drive the car over the cliff. So I want to show you this. Just stay with me out here. So, if this is a bottle of scotch, okay, this is a bottle, I literally can go plug in the jug, right? No matter what, I can shake this thing. There's no scotch or what else is there? Bourbon, I don't know, whatever the heck, right? There's nothing coming out of this. It's done, right? I can throw it to you, boom, give it back, nothing. Throw it to you, see, nothing. Nothing's coming out of here, right? That's a plug in the jug. Isn't that simple? Isn't that nice? Okay, check this out. This is abstinence. Okay, this is a salt shaker. Okay, this is the best abstinence can do. Okay, it's a filter. Remember, I say it like this. I am not addicted to food. I'm not addicted to food. I'm addicted to eating. I'm not addicted to food. If I put down one food, I will find... If I put that food down, I will find... If I put that one down, I will find... Okay? I'm not addicted to food. I'm addicted to eating. So abstinence for me is a loose, flimsy cork, but I have to hear this annoying thing that gives me enough time to go, Sherry, are you going to stop? Is it worth it? What are you going to do? That's abstinence. Three meals a day, nothing in between, a floating fruit. That's mine. That's the best way I can explain it to you. Okay? Now, when I meet alcoholics who are compulsive overeaters, and if we had more time, I'd do a show of hands, and every time I ask them, were you an eater before alcoholism?
Yes.
There you go. Didn't even have to ask it all the time. Because eating was a core issue back then. And they do so well in AA because they can do this. Plug in the jug. Okay? So, is it that they're really addicted to alcohol? Is it that they're really addicted to food? Or are they really addicted to getting out of you right here, right now?
Yeah.
Okay? I feel that Oscar Wilde said it best, and it's on his gravestone. I drank to quiet my mind. Ta-da! So you can say, no white sugar, no white flour, none of this and none of that. I guarantee you, you will still find another way to get out of right here, right now. That's why it's so important to find a power greater than yourself to get back there so that you can, because the mind that got you into trouble cannot be the one to get you out. Just like I read last night in the doctor's opinion on page XXVI 26 about that the alcoholic will be restless, irritable, and discontent unless he can again begin to feel the peace and ease. And that's what we're talking about. So you have to deal with the symptom first. You got to get that abstinence in place. Get that foggy mind cleared up and then start working the steps. Okay. let's see. I don't know what the perforated cap is for my abstinence, but I know my abstinence works for me. It is just right. I can do it my entire life. It has been tested time and time again and has held up to the test of life. And isn't that what we all want, is to stop destroying our lives and to peacefully coexist with our addiction? You heard my story last night. You heard. I've been through maybe, you know, more than most. Maybe not as bad as some, but I've been through it, right? And I still look like this. I'm not bitter. I'm better. Okay? But it had to be attainable, sustainable. I've lost it. I've had so many deaths. I've lost, you know, so many deaths. So many things have happened. But it's like, so my belief that it has to be easy, obtainable, and sustainable. Okay, I'm going to move really fast through the B and the C because it's pretty self-explanatory. So come on back. So we're going to go ahead and go to B. We're going to start with B. This is just an overview. This is like a closet. This is just a look-see. Just because we're talking about it doesn't mean we have to do anything about it. But taking it, like if I was to take, okay, if this room was dark, darkness does not exist. Do you know that? It's been proven. If this was a flashlight and this room was dark and I put a flashlight in here, there would be no darkness, okay? So I believe that when you take it out of your head and you share it, you just do a look-see, it's no longer the same. It really Fs you up with eating that food again. Okay? All right, so.
Okay, ABCs of abstinence were on page 3. B is for bags, bags, baskets, bars, and boxes. B equals be aware and alert of the foods and behaviors that trigger the addiction of compulsive overeating that lead you to pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization. From the big book, page XXVII, page 28, the doctor's opinion, Dr. Silkworth. They cannot start drinking, eating their alcoholic foods, without developing the phenomena of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. Definition of an allergy, an abnormal reaction to a normal substance. Definition of an obsession, an idea that overcomes all other ideas to the contrary. An obsession makes you believe the lie. From the big book, page 31 and 32, chapter 3, more about alcoholism. We do not like to pronounce any individual as alcoholic, a compulsive overeater, but you can quickly diagnose yourself. Try some controlled eating of your alcoholic foods and behaviors. Try to eat them and stop abruptly. Try it more than once. It will not take long for you to decide if you are honest with yourself about it. It may be worth a bad case of the jitters if you get a full knowledge of your condition. Identify and list all your alcoholic foods and behaviors. Foods and behaviors that sets off your addiction of compulsive overeating. This is just an honest appraisal of your trigger foods. Just because we are talking about it doesn't mean that we have to change it. We are just taking a look. Obviously, the list could continue forever without limit. Okay, list the foods that take you out of right here and right now. Foods that make you crazy and sets off the eater in you. Foods that you can't stop thinking about. Foods that make you numb. Foods that coat your nerves. Foods that take the edge off. Only you know your unique drugs of choice. Okay. Behaviors. One is too many and 1,000 is not enough. Eating past full. Buffets, free food, bowls, bags, baskets, bars, and boxes. Only you know your unique behaviors that take you out of right here, right now. Some examples of dangerous foods. Candy, cookies, bakery items, pizza, pasta, chips, ice cream. My personal favorites, the Eatos food group. Burritos, Doritos, Fritos. Some examples of dangerous behavior, halt, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, too busy, too tired, too pushed, too rushed, etc.
Bored.
Too bored. Some examples of dangerous behaviors for the anorexic or bulimic: overexercising, restricting food, purging, etc. These are foods and behaviors that keep me overweight, underweight, or purging. B equals be aware and alert in the presence of these foods and behaviors. So B is bowls, bags, baskets, bars, and boxes. After the ABC forms have been reviewed, the Q&A segment follows. We will then fill in the ABCs of abstinence forms, followed by the acid test. It is strongly recommended that you discuss your choices with your sponsors. My most compulsive foods and behaviors as of today are...
And we'll go back, we'll return back to that. We're going to go ahead and go now on to the C section.
Read it. C. Create your plan of eating and community of choice to obtain and maintain a healthy body weight for life. from the Overeaters Anonymous pamphlet, Dignity of Choice, page 2, A Plan of Eating. Our individual guide to nourishing foods in appropriate portions is a tool that moves us toward achieving and maintaining a healthy body weight. Using a plan allows us to deal with food in a calm, rational, and balanced manner. We follow our plan one meal at a time, one day at a time. In this way, we begin to eat according to our physical needs rather than our whims or feelings. A plan, however, is only the beginning. No matter how good our plan of eating is and how supportive our meetings and OA friends are, we will experience lasting recovery only if we work the 12 steps. A reminder, abstinence is our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Easiest to remember, abstinence is how we eat. Refer back to A form for full definition of abstinence. Okay, plan of eating is a tool. It is the first of 9 tools. 9 tools, a plan of eating, sponsorship, meetings, telephone, writing, literature, action plan, anonymity, and service. Some members refrain from certain foods. Some eat all foods more moderately. Only you, with proper guidance, can honestly appraise your own eating habits. A food plan is what you eat. The food plan is ever-changing. The food plan is weight gaining, weight losing, or weight maintaining. A plan of eating is a powerful tool that will aid you in obtaining and maintaining a healthy weight for life. So C, create your plan of eating, dignity of choice, to obtain and maintain a healthy body weight for life. A plan of eating. A plan of eating is a tool. It is an aid to achieving our goal. Ultimately, in a way, we determine our own plan of eating. This from a letter addressed to meeting secretaries on June 9, 1995. Honesty. Honesty begins with the food on your plate. This program works for those who have the ability to be honest with themselves. It is our experience that honesty begins with the food on our plate. Is your plate a weight-gaining, weight-losing, or weight-maintaining plate? Create a plan of eating that works for you. Is it weight-gaining, weight-maintaining, or weight-losing? Choose a plan of eating that allows you to participate in life without setting off your addiction of compulsive overeating. Select a plan of eating that supports your goal of obtaining and maintaining a healthy body weight. From Tools of Recovery, there are no specific requirements for a plan of eating. OA does not endorse or recommend any specific plan of eating, nor does it exclude the personal use of one. See the pamphlets, Dignity of Choice, and A Plan of Eating. For more information, visit the OA bookstore at
http://bookstore.oa.org/.
Examples of successful food plans to obtain and maintain a healthy body weight are Dignity of Choice, OA pamphlet, brief description, page 8. Commercial food plans, nutritionist food plan, diabetic food plan, sponsor suggested food plan.
Then you'll see on this next page, we have Dignity of Choice. We have all these sample plans, but we're not going to... We're running short on time. Maybe most of you are familiar with this. If not, you'll have the time to go over that.
Okay, we're on C. Create your plan of eating, Dignity of Choice. After the ABC forms have been reviewed, The Q&A segment will follow. We will then fill in the ABCs of abstinence forms, followed by the acid test. It is strongly suggested that you discuss your choices with your sponsor. My plan of eating to obtain and maintain a healthy body weight is...
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for reading that. I really appreciate that. Okay, woohoo! And thank you all for all of your assistance today. Okay, we will be breaking at 12 noon for lunch, so I'm going to take a few minutes of questions, and then we're, and somebody, as I take questions, kind of keep me on a 3-minute timer, because you know I could answer each question for two days straight. I have a lot to say about absolutely everything. So, and then I want to make sure that we give, you know, 10, 12, 15, you know, minutes to write out an abstinence. Some of us will just need to write an abstinence. Some of us are not ready for a food plan. Pretty much those of, and it, as far as the B section, if you're an eater, you probably already know what that is. You might be able to forego that since time is short. You know, it's like for me, when I began, all foods, that list was just extensive, okay? So, but if you don't have an abstinence, this would be a good place to write your abstinence down. If you already have an abstinence and you want to lose that final 10, that final 15, the final whatever it happens to be, then let's work on create that plan of a weight losing. You know, if you're obtaining and maintaining, but you want to move a little bit more into the guilt-free eating, let's learn how to have a weight gaining, a weight maintaining, a weight losing, you know, food plan so that you can get into that guilt-free eating and learn more fully how to peacefully coexist. So remember, if you're new, you just want to focus on creating that abstinence. If you know, because we're all at different points in our program. So we're going to do some questions, then we're going to have a timed period to write our abstinence, and then we're going to do the acid test, so you can kind of hear what that sounds like. Yes.
Just a comment. They want us to be there by noon, so we need to quarter.
So I have to stop at 11:45.
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. So let's get to it. Yes.
Hi, I'm Liz, compulsive overeater.
Yes.
I've maintained my weight for 5 years. I've been off of sugar for 5.5 years, but I'm still a compulsive overeater.
Let's go straight to the questions. No names, no clapping, because we're going to really
get
down and dirty. No.
I'm diabetic and I eat properly. But I can overeat what I'm supposed to eat. I can be compulsive about a salad.
Right. What's your question?
What do I do?
About?
About my compulsion. I'm at a loss.
Okay. You're with what part? What is it that you're wanting to do? Is this for abstinence or is this for the weight losing?
Abstinence.
Okay. Do you have an abstinence now?
I don't know. I'm confused about that. I have a food plan, and I stick to my food plan very well because I'm diabetic.
Okay. Are you losing weight with your food plan?
No, I'm maintaining weight.
For how long?
5 years.
Yay! Okay. All right. So would you like to have an abstinence?
Yes.
Okay. In your gut, and you have to answer this just between you and me and God in our own little Holy Trinity right here, right now. I want the easiest, most obtainable, most sustainable abstinence that you can come up with right now. What can you do that you can go through everything that I've been through that I talked about last night? What could you do and you would never cash in your chips on that? What could you do that's really easy?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Don't say, I don't know. Every time you say, I don't know, you disconnect and you go back into that fractured self. Okay? You go back into the spiritual malady. What's one little thing that you can do?
Give up trying to be perfect.
Okay, let's abstain from something else because you're always going to be imperfectly perfect. Okay? God made us that way. Okay. I want to tell you something about this perfection weirdo thing, and this may really weird some people out on any judgmental thing, okay? But I'm going to tell you, when I heard this story, okay, now this has to do with a Bible story, okay? So I hope this doesn't freak anybody out. So, so Jesus, right, he has these 12 disciples. And he says to these 12 disciples, he says, you know, you're going to say you don't even know me by the time the crow crows three times. And he goes, you are going to turn me in to the authorities. Obviously, I don't know the story very well, so please help me. Okay, and then he goes down the road and he says, and you'll say, does anyone know the story very well? You what? Say it again.
Peter was the first person that you'll deny me three times. I don't know the rest.
Okay. But anyhow, whatever that story is, he knew these people were going to deny him, that we're going to this, and he was that. And he goes, and I'm thinking, wow, man, you picked those people to help you? Man, what a trip. So I go, well, shoot, that's pretty cool, okay? So it's like that's kind of nice, all right? And so it's like, I always say, God, come to me and through me to help me and your people today. And so I go, I'm about as imperfectly perfect as you can get, right? So it's like, let's be with Overeaters Anonymous. Okay, let's just pick something. What's one little thing that you can do really, really perfectly? What's one little food that you could just give up? One thing. What came into your
sugar.
Head?
Sugar.
No.
I've already done that.
You already did that.
Yeah.
You can just eat what's on your plate.
Wait a minute. Have you given up sugar? What do you mean you've given up sugar? Have you given up sugar?
Yeah.
Like what kind of sugar?
Anything that's on the label. I read labels.
Okay, so the first five, the first two, the first one. Give me what you just said.
Any desserts? Anything that's.
All right, I'm going to jump in here because we have shortness on time.
Yeah.
Okay, as my abstinence grew and developed, remember I started on my food plan first. Okay, then I morphed it into my abstinence. I do not eat candy, cakes, cookies, pie. I don't eat French fries. But I do eat soft frozen yogurt. I eat, can't think of anything sweet right now. Oh, what's some other stuff? I don't eat sugar-free anything because that kind of walks like a duck, talks like a duck, must look like a duck. So I eat soft frozen yogurt. I don't eat ice cream. I eat sorbet. I eat sherbet, but I don't binge on any of those. Okay, I can eat whipped cream. So I don't ever say, like, I don't eat sugar, because there's sugar in everything. Okay? So I eat, when I make tuna, I do tuna, mayonnaise, and relish. Sweet relish. And I'm sure it's loaded with sugar, but I've never once in my life gone like this with a... like, really? Okay, and there's some programs out there that say, no ketchup. I'm like, are you kidding me? In my blue collar background, right? It's like, I like meatloaf. We were taught you put ketchup on your meatloaf. Don't tell me that I can't have ketchup on my meatloaf. Ketchup's not the problem. It's the frickin' French fry. Okay? I don't eat French fries. I eat onion rings. Ask me last time I had an onion ring.
When was the last time you
did? I don't know, because they don't bug me. Okay? I eat power bars. Okay, this is what I do with a power bar. So I go to, I recently did this, and I said to my husband, I said, I like to travel with power bars and beef jerky, and I brought them up here because I'm afraid you guys don't know how to feed me, or Or I'm going to be so busy that I don't get time to go to breakfast, which would happen today, right? And so he buys me like the kind of stuff that he liked. So I bit into one. This happened a while ago. I bit into one. It's like, ugh, bit, ugh, ugh, ugh. And it's like, man, what freedom, because there was never in it before, right? So I can eat those power bars like a lady. So I know the kind of power bars that I like, and I don't like them. So it's like, don't say sugar. Say what your stuff is. So if you're saying that you don't eat sugar perfectly, that it's fifth in the ingredient or two or whatever, but you need to write that down, but that's what I'm saying. Don't say sugar. Say, I don't eat a candy cake, a cookie, a donut.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't paint. Remember I talked last night? Don't paint in big, broad brush strokes. Pick up the small thing, because when you hit the strange mental blank spot, you won't know the difference.
Well, yes, I do, because I'm diabetic. And if I eat too much sugar, my body reacts, and I can feel that.
Do you eat too much sugar sometimes?
No.
Okay, write it down, and let's take an acid test if we have time. Are there more questions? Yes.
How?
Somebody be my runner. Where's my runner girl? Run back. Yes.
Okay. How long should a new person be abstinent before you start working the steps? Because Bill W. and Dr. Bob started working people through steps while they were still on belladonna in the hospital.
Get to it. You're abstinent. Get to it. Right now. Right now. Right now. You're abstinent. Let's get to it. Got your abstinent? Let's get your face in the book. Let's get your face in the meeting. Let's get your face in the service. Let's get to it. All this stuff I hear, let's wait here for the fourth step before you have somebody else. Get into service. Get into the step. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Wait for what? Wait for what? Get abstinent. Boom, you're abstinent. You got an abstinent. Get in the steps. Get in the steps. Mind that got you in trouble can't be yet. Set an abstinence. Simple, easy. Get in the steps. Get in the meetings. Get in the meetings. Get your sponsor. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Create a village around your head. Just saturate your head. Don't wait. You only have a window of opportunity before your disease snatches you back. One last question, then we're going to write. Any other question? Okay, great. I'm going to go ahead and write your abstinence or your food plan or whatever you need. And then I'm going to give you, let's take 7 minutes on that, and I shall return in 1 second.
Little one dead.